Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Back Porch Theology. I hope you have your survival equipment because we're in for a bumpy season. Be sure to share the podcast, pass it around like hotcakes, like it's party favors, because we need to be equipped for this next season that looks like we might very well be headed straight for. So it's 4 o'clock in the morning, January the 7th, and the treason has been complete. Vice President Pence is a coward, and the majority of our government is absolutely corrupt, with the exception of a few men that actually have a spine, that have a backbone, that have a pair, right? So what do we do? Well, let me be probably the first person that you've heard to say this, that female patriot yesterday that was shot in the neck by the wicked DC police, that was the next shot heard around the world, right? That was the next kickoff of not the revolution, but the war for independence. We are at war. We're at war with the wicked humanists, the Babylonians, the Canaanites. They have kicked the door down in our nation, and President Trump stands nearly alone, besides the fact that we the people are behind him. You know what we need? Obviously, a shot in the arm of 100 proof scripture. Things like in Proverbs, it says that like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is the righteous that give way before the wicked. Pence, like Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth, city on a hill, that when salt has lost its saltiness, it's good for nothing but then to be trampled out and under the feet of men. So that's what we're experiencing now, it looks like. Now, President Trump could still invoke the military, and I pray that he does. I pray that he invokes the special forces and the Marines to overturn the election, but to right turn the election, because the election has been overturned and everybody knows it. You know it. I know it. The staunchest leftist knows it. The thing is, they don't care about truth. They don't care about righteousness. They don't care about honesty. They break all of God's commandments, and they love it. They love to break God's commandments. They have their only principle is that man is the measure. That's the mantra of the humanists. That truth is what we determine it to be. Righteousness is whatever we say it is. We want to climb that Tower of Babel and rip God off his throne and put ourselves on the throne of the universe and of the nations. Well, I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or if it's going to be a year from now or if it's going to be 50 years from now, but they got another thing coming, because Christ is conquering the nations. And even in dark times like these, trying times that try men's souls, Christ is still on the throne, and part of him bringing all of his enemies under his feet may very well look like a Biden presidency, right? But this one thing we know, and this is why a biblical eschatology, a biblical understanding of the future is so, so crucial, because hope is of the essence. The man without hope is easily defeated by the man that has hope. And that's why the evil Democrats and leftists have taken over this country, is because they've had hope in their wicked schemes, it's a misplaced hope, because their hope will is going to line them up right in the fires that burn below the lake of fire, right along with the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil himself, and all who reject the Lord and his Christ, right? But hope is so important, and without a biblical eschatology, it's almost impossible to have hope. So foundational to a biblical view of the future is that Christ is king, and he is bringing all of his enemies under his feet. Even Joe Biden, even Nancy Pelosi, even Chuck Schumer, and all of the evil leftists in D.C., right? Including Communist China. Communist China right now, the reason why they're flexing their muscles so much, the reason why they're showing their fangs and their claws, is because the Christians are taking over China. And long term, that's going to be what happens here. That's going to be what happens here and what happens in North Korea and all over the world. But for now, what do? Well, we may have to circle the wagons. We may have to learn how to fight. You know, unfortunately, what can tend to happen historically is that when times are good, men get weak, and then the tyrants rise to power. They ascend to the thrones, into the places of the seats of power in a culture, in a nation. And that's what's happened. We've had it good for a long time, and now us Christians, and especially us men, are going to have to battle. We're going to have to be equipped for battle. Just like the generation that followed Joshua into the promised land. I'm pretty sure we've talked about it on the back porch before, but it says in the opening pages of the book of Judges that God left some of the Canaanites still in the land so that those who did not know war in the time of Joshua would learn how to do battle. Why? Well, because we're soldiers in the Lord's army. It's not just a metaphor. In 2 Timothy, or first in 2 Timothy, when Paul says that we have been enlisted into God's army and we're to be good soldiers, right? Not occupied with civilian affairs, but rather aim to please our master and our commander. Christian, you are a soldier. It's time for us to do battle. It's time for us to quit playing nice. And I'm going to keep saying it until I start seeing more smiling faces out there. Take off the stinking face diaper. Take off the diaper. Be bold. Be courageous. Have a backbone. Okay. So, one of the big reasons of why we've gotten to where we are today is because of cowardice. Because of cowardice. Because we value so highly the quote unquote virtue of not rocking the boat. If you're in a boat filled with people that are driving the boat straight to hell and you don't start rocking the boat, there's nothing virtuous about it. Can we settle that once and for all in our hearts and minds? That Christians should be the ones rocking boats. Why is it that we as Reformed people, we have conferences celebrating the brave men of the past, men who feared God and not man, but yet we are not willing to walk in their path. We are not willing to pick up their sword and to lop off some heads of Philistines. We're not willing to engage with secular thought out there. We want to keep our head down. We want to play it nice. Well, this is what happens. This is what happens when we are not being the salt that Christ has called us to be, that Christ equips us to be by his word and his spirit. So we need scripture. We need scripture written on our foreheads and on the palms of our hands, just like God said in Deuteronomy, meaning God's word needs to be what forms our thoughts and our minds and our worldview and our actions, right? The other thing that we need as American Christian patriots, people who love the Lord and love our country and want to see Christ exalted and the banner of his kingdom waving high, We need to remember men like Thomas Jefferson. Good old TJ, right? The Tree of Liberty, he said, must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Again, we've had it so smooth for so long, we have forgotten how to do battle. We have forgotten how to be uncomfortable. We have forgotten how to speak up. We have forgotten how to be men and women that don't fear anything but God and God alone. Thomas Jefferson also said that every government degenerates when trusted to the rulers of the people alone. The people themselves are its only safe depositories. And that's exactly what we saw yesterday in D.C. Now, my opinion is that Antifa went undercover as patriots and Trump supporters and started storming the Capitol. And then a lot of Christians and patriots followed suit. The peaceful ones were the patriots and the Christians, all right? There's an interview on LifeSiteNews.com where a Christian recounts going in yesterday to the Senate room and having a prayer service. Oh, but they're just like Antifa, burning down stores and houses and smashing windows and curb stomping cops. Man, give me a break, right? The people that were in the Capitol building yesterday, which is a government building of we the people, right? It's our tax dollars. It's our blood, sweat, and tears that building enshrines. And it's supposed to enshrine God's law like it used to. So the Christian people that made their way into the Capitol building yesterday, what did they do? They prayed. They prayed for God's deliverance for our land. I'll include that link in the show notes today. All right, so I just want to look at a couple more quotes from one of the greatest patriots and leaders of our nation in all of its 240-year history. If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Now let's apply that with a biblical worldview. If you don't know what God's law has to say about justice, number one, about the priority that God places on justice, what God does to a nation that rejects justice. Now remember, God is the only lawgiver and he's the only one that gets to define what justice is. So if God's people who are commanded to be the salt of the earth, the salt, you Christian American are commanded to be the salt of America. If we expect to live in ignorance of what God's law says about justice and we expect to retain our freedoms, then we expect what never was and never ever will be. We have to know the law of God. We have to treasure the law of God. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It is how we discern between good and evil. Hebrews chapter 5, that the mature in Christ know how to discern all things, whether good or evil, because they measure it against the law of God. And then lastly, I want to leave you with this, that when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Well, mic drop there, Mr. Jefferson. Thank you, sir. When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Do you hear that? It is your duty to resist tyranny. To obey God is to defy tyrants. Another great Christian patriot of yesteryear, Samuel Adams. So moving forward, whatever God has for us, may our hands be raised up high to the heavens, trusting Christ, and may our hands also be calloused because we are working our fingers to the bone to advance his kingdom in faith and in joy, loving our wives, loving our kids, discipling our households, ruling in the fear of the Lord, and be strong in the Lord. Be courageous, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Joshua chapter 1. Go get them. Thanks for hanging out on the back porch, everybody. This has been another episode of Back Porch Theology. Be sure to send me an email, backporchtheology@yahoo.com. And until next time, keep your hand to the plow. Remain steadfast and always abound in the work of the Lord. We'll catch you next time.